So my guest is founder and CEO of Aching Arms Charity, Leanne Turner. Hello.
Hi, Jo. Lovely to be here.
I know. It's great to actually finally meet you as well.
Brilliant. Likewise. Really lovely. You've been really supportive of Aching Arms, so thank you.
Oh, no. I'm just looking at the two little teddies there. And you are stroking the teddy's head as well. They are beautiful things, I must admit. Got a little T-shirt on as well. I will take a photograph, don't worry, so you can see what the little teddy bears look like at home. Now, Leanne, Aching Arms Charity, as many wonderful charities, are created by kind of lived experiences and or loss, right? So, and Aching Arms gives help and support when people experience the heartbreak of losing their baby. So would you mind telling us your story? Because I think just like, you know, to give that background, if you're able.
Absolutely. And I think the important thing just to mention, Jo, just as a trigger warning for any of your listeners, if they've been affected by the loss of a baby during pregnancy, at birth or in infancy, just it's okay if you actually need to tune out now, in all honesty. But also just know that we're here if, after hearing my story, it does trigger your own story, that Aching Arms are here to support you and the helpline is available. In 2009, we lost our little son, James. My heart's already pounding, so I should chat about it. But he was born at 23 weeks gestation. And it was at 1 year after losing him that I was at absolute rock bottom. I'd been a teacher, secondary school teacher. I could take on any teenager you like, a whole class full of them. Mm. But losing James, absolutely, I was in pieces. I was a complete shadow of myself. And it was Mother's Day, actually, 2010. A lot of your listeners will know the Woodman Road Cemetery. Yeah. And I was walking there. I needed some time. Sure. I'd lost my mum when I was young. I'd lost my baby. And it just felt like a really challenging day. I was rock bottom. I was walking through the cemetery because I love to walk around the woods here. Hartswood was a place I walked regularly. Mm. Donkey Lane, all through there, just through my grief. I could just cry in privacy almost and just feel the strength of nature. So I was walking through the cemetery, you know, cutting through to Donkey Lane, and I thought, how am I going to start existing again, stop existing and living again? Mm. Because I'd gone back to work. I was, you know, just carrying on life in a very... with a sad core running right through me is what I used to describe. Sure. And I thought, you know, when I was a little girl, how I coped was by helping others. And what I got joy from was helping others, because my mum was poorly. So I helped her a lot. And I thought, maybe that's what I need to do. I need to help others to help me heal.
Yeah.
So I came home that day and I told my partner, Mark, I've decided I'm going to set up this charity. I need to help others so that I can start to help myself. And so there's a little a charity in Australia. So many of your listeners probably can't hear it, but I am Australian. I've been here 24 years now. There's a charity in Australia called Bears of Hope. And they supported me because I needed to reach out to other Australians at the time to feel connection.
Yeah.
And I said to them, there's nothing like the Bears of Hope here in England or the UK. How would you feel about me having a go at offering some support and comfort to others? So they said, you've got our blessing. Take 10 teddy bears to your local hospital and see what happens. So I got 20 teddy bears down to Queen's Hospital. I got other bereaved mums who I'd connected with at the time to back me, write the website, write the literature, sending me teddy bears, posting them in through the post. And we got those first 20 teddy bears down to Romford, to the bereavement midwife there. And that's how it all started. From there, it's been a journey of 14 years since I founded the charity. We're now a national charity working with 192 hospitals, plus hospices, plus funeral directors and other support groups. We donate our little teddy bears to them also. Mm. So that, quite simply, the little teddy bear is the gift of comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort for your arms that ache. Mm. My arms ached in the days after losing James. I just had this physical sensation I needed to hold my baby. And the teddy bear, it's not your baby, but it's a gift from one bereaved family to another. So the little label, Joe, you can see, and we'll, the photos will explain it.
Yeah, I'll take photographs and put them up. So.
So on the back of the little card, it's got the name of the baby in whose memory this has been gifted.
Oh, wow.
So this little one is in memory of Fern, and Fern sadly died in February 2018. And her family have donated this little teddy bear so that it can be gifted on to another bereaved family so they know they're not alone. It acts as a little comforter to hold in your empty arms. It's a message you're not alone. And it also helps midwives and nurses have a conversation about where you go next for help and support after you've been discharged from hospital.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's just a wonderful thing because it's a full cycle as well. So you're sharing your own stories through the teddies as well.
Absolutely. And we've got around 150 volunteers all across the UK. Each of them prepare the teddy. So they, back in the early days, we used to tie the ribbons and ends and all sorts. Now they've got our own little teddies, got the ribbon already. Oh. But they take delivery of the bears.
Yeah.
They're given a list of all the little babies in whose memory they're dedicated. They attach the little information with support. Then they arrange with their local midwife to take the bears to hospital. So for those volunteers, I wanted them to feel the same healing that I have felt through the charity. So we don't just dispatch them from a factory to a distribution centre. It's all very personal.
Yeah.
And we've got volunteers have been with me from the very start, 14 years, where they prepare bears, take them to the hospital, interact with the midwives and are building positive memories after what was so traumatic, when they left that hospital after losing their baby.
And it started just in Romford Hospital, just with a few bears, and now it's nationwide.
That's exactly right.
That's amazing. Yeah. Because obviously it's not just the bears as well that you provide. There's different support because you've got different elements really, haven't you? So do you want to explain like the father support? Because obviously it's not just about the mums, is it?
That's right. And so it was during the pandemic actually, we used to refer families to other much bigger at the time, baby loss charities for helplines because we didn't have a helpline. In the pandemic, we knew that the NHS frontline services were struggling. The community midwives weren't able to get out to see bereaved families. The specialist bereavement midwives couldn't give the same time that they had previously. So we wanted to support them, the midwives who are so key to our work. Without all those midwives offering our bears, families wouldn't receive them. So we set up a helpline. We got some funding. We have a helpline. So that's the supporting arm service. Now, the supporting arm service is growing. It's not a crisis line.
No.
It's a callback service. So you can ring, text or email to arrange. You can just have email support if you want. You can just have text support if that feels easier. Or you can arrange a time for our bereavement team to call you back. Mm. We've also then grown to what we call virtual online calls. Some people prefer to, although it's not in person, but to see the person they're speaking to, see their expressions. So we've got that is available also. Wow. It's all free of charge, of course. It's all funded. And then we've got provision set out just for bereaved fathers. We noticed that our bereaved dads were doing fundraising. They were running, they were doing tough mudders and obstacle courses and, nuclear races, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But they weren't. And then when we sort of were speaking to them, they were sharing their stories. And we thought, we need them to access the support service, not just our fundraising managers, who do a beautiful job of supporting them. But so we went out and sort of put together an advisory group of dads and said, look, how can we help you? Because we're all female staff at the time. How can we help you? And they identified the things they wanted. They wanted a dedicated support away from their partners so they could talk about their grief. They wanted some sort of survival guide, some sort of guidance from other bereaved dads as to what to do. So we've now got every month, Monday night, 7:30. So first Monday of each month at 7:30, it's an online support group for dads. It's just a place to come together. It's led by a bereaved dad who's got lots of experience of trauma counselling and support. And we've got a guidebook for dads. I haven't got the right words, but it's a book that says you're a dad, you always will be. And it's got a whole mix of sort of supportive messaging, strategies, you know, around fitness and health. It's got gratitude, things to try and think of the positives as you go through your journey, not in the early days, but try and focusing the mind on mindfulness, breathing techniques, health and physical care for yourself. Because the dads told us that they put their grief on hold.
Yeah.
And because they're looking after their partner and their other, if they have other children looking after them, they're having to do all the communicating about what's happened. Yeah. Often their partner would say, I'm not speaking in that meeting with the consultant. You've got to ask all the questions. I'm too traumatized. So the burden is placed on them, but they need a space of their own. And they felt that it was around 6 months after their loss was when they felt they sort of started to really grieve and hit some sort of dark place and raw place.
Because they've been going so long, like their own toolbox essentially is what they needed, wasn't it, really?
Exactly, So we've got that provision, and we've got a dedicated dad now who does take phone calls for dads or text messages.
Yeah.
You know, we're not overwhelmed. The charity, we're not overwhelmed. So there is space for people to call us and, you know, take advantage of our support services. Mm. Some of our calls that come in are simply things like, I've got an anniversary coming up. What can I do? Mm. It's my first Christmas. What do you suggest? Mm. Because all of the people in our call centre, not a call centre, our helpline, that makes it sound really big. It's not. It's only four people.
Yeah.
They've all got experience themselves as bereaved parents. Mm. So they'll share, we share stories. We don't do counselling in that sense.
No. But you can point people in the right direction as well for that, can't you, if necessary?
We do. Yes, we absolutely do. And one of our helpline lead people, she is actually a counsellor.
Oh.
And so if need be, we know we've got the safeguards in place.
Sure.
And we've got really good links with other charities that offer that. You know, trauma counselling. There's a charity just Cambridgeshire way called Petals offer trauma counselling.
Yeah.
So we work collectively with lots of the charities.
Yeah. So you've got support as well, essentially, right?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, we do, because we're all bereaved parents running the charity.
Yeah.
Trustees are all bereaved. Nearly all of our volunteers are bereaved parents. So we really do look after each other through support with other charities.
Yeah. So you've got other branches of that as well, haven't you, as well? So
yeah. Should I catch my breath?
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to play a song, because I always ask my guests if you want to request. So I know what it is now. Have you forgotten what it is already? Because we did go for quite a few, didn't we?
No, it's Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one. It's called Torn.
It is.
And I think it definitely reflects how I felt. I felt so torn and devastated and at a complete loss when I lost my baby James. And it's not a joyous song, but it's a raw truth that she sort of sings.
Excellent. Right, we're back with Leanna from Aching Arms. I want to understand what Be Together is. If you can just enlighten us on that.
We try and do things slightly differently at Aching Arms. So what we want to do is not bring people together for support groups, like lots of other charities have those. We know there's fantastic provision here in the local area and across the UK for those sorts of support. So what we've set out to have is what's called a Be Together program. So it's bringing people together around an activity. Bereaved families, whether they're bereaved parents, they could be the grandparents or siblings, so that we can just bring together around an activity. So we recently held one in Billericay, actually, which was just an Easter floral arrangement session. So we did a session in the morning for parents, a session in the afternoon for children, so they could create a beautiful floral tribute in memory of their sibling or their baby at Easter time.
Yeah.
And the beautiful sharing of the stories of each other and just companionship was just utterly beautiful. I attended that and it was just such an honour to hear everybody share their raw stories and just put your hand on your shoulder and say, it's okay, you're not alone, I walked this journey too.
Mm.
So that happened recently. What we've got coming up is a Be Together event for dads, which is a football match. So we've been challenged by Sands United football team to pull together an Aching Arms football team. They don't train regularly, but we get overwhelmed when we put it out there. We get so many dads, uncles, brothers who come forward and say, we'll play.
Yeah.
So the 27th of April, that's happening. It's at Charlton. It's not at Charlton Athletic Football pitch. Have you got the details?
Yeah, Meridian Sports and Social Club at Charlton Park Lane. That's London SE7.
That's it. So we've got the team is all sorted. My partner Mark's playing, so shout out to him.
What position does he play? You have no idea.
They play all over. They play for as long as they can and sub on, so that because they're not regular players, our dads. But gee, they've got beautiful energy.
Oh, brilliant.
So if anyone wants to come down and just be there, I'll be there cheering on just to support them. And if someone's been affected and just wants to reach out and see other faces and see other people and talk to others, my team will be there. So you're welcome to that. Later in the year, I think it's September, isn't it, Joe, if you've got the website there. Duncan from Get Outside, he runs the local CIC here. He's doing an activity for families in the wilderness in September, I believe that is.
Right.
So don't quote me on that, but it is all on our website under events.
It's the 14th of September at Kelvedon Hatch near Chelmsford, Essex. So, yes, let's get out. Actually, Duncan was here on the Tuesday. So
that's
yeah.
it. Let's get out. They're brilliant. Duncan's a great supporter of Aching Arms.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, so they're happening. We've got funding for 2 years to run these, and the idea is to run them all across the country.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that if they continue to be successful, then we can look at getting funds to continue that program. But so far, it's just so beautiful to see the families come together and friendships be born through that interaction together.
And it's helping to spread the word as well. So like if you at home know somebody that could be interested or might want to even help out, you can go to achingarms.co.uk. Go on, you can even do it now while you're listening to us. But look, you said you've got all these people that are volunteering as well. So what's the training kind of involved with all that?
So, yes, we do some online training for our volunteers so that they feel prepared and, you know, confident to go into hospitals and take the little teddies and prepare them beautifully and support their own journeys of grief through doing that. And then what we have with the bears, so that midwives and nurses know and understand how to offer the bears sensitively and how our experiences of loss can help and experience of clinical care can be used as an example for what was good and what was not so good. We offer to all our hospitals who work with us, we do free training for midwives and nurses. So we go in, we talk about the bears, we talk about our lived experience and give them the opportunity to see bereaved parents who are not still in that really traumatized state, who we can talk about and reflect upon the care we had so they can learn and be better. Because midwives only get about an hour out of their whole training on bereavement. And it's so important that they know how to look after parents.
Is that all? Really?
It's
wow.
Really small amount of time. So we've done work at Anglia Ruskin. We spoke this year. My colleague Lindsay did a lecture there around bereavement care. So the message is getting out there, and we do all that free. The other training that we do, Joe, is for employers. It's not free. That's to help us grow the charity.
Sure.
We offer training modules either in person or online. It's around three themes of acknowledging, understanding and supporting bereaved parents who are in your workplace.
Full package, really, yeah.
The full package. So that from the moment you get that terrible call to say, we've had bad news, baby has died, or baby is very poorly, or I'm miscarrying, no heartbeat, whatever the traumatic news parents have been given, when you get told that as an employer or a manager, it's very confronting for you. So by doing our training, we can give you the skills like right from the start to know what to do immediately. Reflect upon what policies you've got in place. More and more businesses, thank goodness, are putting in policies for pre-24 weeks loss. So post 24 weeks, there is legislation for bereavement leave. Pre-24 weeks, it isn't. And it's an absolute lottery as to what your manager might say, do or allow. The NHS have just, 2 weeks ago, put forward their 10-day bereavement leave pre-24 week losses for the mother and 5 days paid leave for dads, which is fantastic news. And it gives a benchmark for businesses. So we could go in, do training with your team, help managers and colleagues understand how to support bereaved parents from the moment they get that news through to their return to work and how to handle that. And like I said, reflect on their policies they've got and how to not just have a policy, but how to enact a policy through a human perspective. Because it might say 2 weeks leave on a piece of paper, but for many, 2 weeks won't be the right amount of time. It could be less. It could be much more. I mean,
so
my
helps.
James,
yeah.
My James was 23 weeks. So I was officially only, you know, I wasn't entitled to full maternity. But my employer had to manage that very carefully. I ended up off work for 4 months. So we want to empower managers and employers to use their instincts, but also understand the impact fully and that they need to really have a case-by-case situation and make judgments.
So it helps them navigate as well. So it's a really important part of it. Yeah. So, well, look, there's so much more. And if you want to have a look at volunteering and things like that as well, you can have a look on the website. I'm going to say it again, achingarms.co.uk. And you've got all the events page. You've got everything on there, including the merchandise as well. Because I didn't even realise there's a wonderful little kind of pin badge. It's got a pink and blue ribbon. I didn't even know it's a baby awareness pin. I didn't even realise there was one.
Yeah, so Baby Loss Awareness Week, Joe, I'll have to come back and talk to you about that. It's in October.
Oh, you definitely come back on that one. Yeah.
And that's the little pin badge that we sell that, you know, not just us, all the Baby Loss charities will have those available.
But you sell those to the bears, to everything
so,
else.
Yeah, right? Our charity e-shop is not your average charity shop. Yeah. It's sort of items that have been carefully vetted by us for you to send to a friend, for example, or a family member, a comfort box, a letterbox hug, a sentimental item that we feel is appropriate for bereaved families. You can buy our little dandelion bear. He's the little guy in the T-shirt here. He's not dedicated in memory of a baby. He's just a little bear that brings comfort to anybody.
He's cute.
And all the items, there's lovely scarves and jewellery. They're not all about bereavement. They're about supporting the charity, but have a link to the charity. So, yeah, Christmas presents, birthday, all sorts.
It's great, because sometimes, like, when people have had a loss of anything, you never know really what to buy, what to do, what to say. So having a website like that can really help everybody out, friends, family, colleagues at work. So, yeah, it's amazing what you do, Leanne. And I do feel terrible, but we've only got a couple of minutes now until we've got the news. So I'm going to give it another shout, achingarms.co.uk. If you have just tuned in and you want more information, the interview will be up online, phoenixfm.com. And all the relevant links that you need or that somebody else you know may need will be online. And I'm going to take some pictures of the cute little bears as well, because they are. And as you said, they're not just something that's been manufactured elsewhere. It's something actually that's you can see it's taken a lot of care to produce those little bears. They are gorgeous.
Yeah, and each of them comes with love from one bereaved family to another. So, you know, please do reach out. Anyone listening, if you want to request a bear, they're free for all bereaved parents. You can do that on the website. And remember, our helpline is there too if you need to speak to somebody.
Leanne, thanks so much. I will see you again in October. And I'm going to take pictures of the bear in a second. Now, we've got about 20 seconds until we've got the news. So I'm going to start off with Girls Aloud with Sound of the Underground. And then that'll greet you as well after the news. Leanne, again, thank you so much.